Back on the Sun Coast Morning Magazine, coming up on 9:35 the time, and Our Mickey, Cherished Memories of an American Icon, is a new book about one of the most fascinating characters ever to play baseball, Mickey Mantle, published by Triumph Books, through dozens of personal stories from the likes of Yogi Berra, Whitey Ford, Stan Musial, Sandy Koufax, Willie Mays, and Billy Crystal, David Halberstam, Dan Rather, and others. Our Mickey provides individual glimpses into the life, personality, and the character of Mickey Mantle. Joining us on the program this morning is one of the authors of Our Mickey, Maury Allen, a nationally known sports writer and author with more than 30 books about baseball to his credit, including bestsellers on Joe DiMaggio and Casey Stengel. He began his writing career working for small newspapers, moved to Sports Illustrated magazine, and has been a baseball expert and columnist for the New York Post for almost 30 years. Mickey Mantle was always the most exciting personality he covered, both on and off the field. Maury, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today. How are you?
Fine. Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, great. I grew up in New York, Long Island, just a little bit after Mickey retired from baseball, but just from reading about him and seeing the many interviews and film clips of his career, he struck me as both kind of a heroic and a tragic figure. Is that how you saw him?
That's a pretty fair estimate of Mickey. Of course, his playing career was always hampered by his injuries and, you know, a little too much drinking, but he did achieve an awful lot, and he was an incredibly popular and charismatic player, and the second part of his life after his playing career ended, again, had some ups and downs, but always exciting, always interesting, and as a writer, always fun to be around.
Yeah, he had Mickey's Restaurant in New York, which I think is still in business, I believe.
And, yes, and it's not only in business, but the co-author is the owner of it.
Oh, great. Okay, we're going to get to him. Yeah, yeah, you had a co-author with the book. And you saw Mickey a lot on television, you know, even after he retired. Of course, the Old Timers Day games, he came back for that, and it really stayed in the public eye. But as you mentioned, you know, he had a difficult personal life, grew up, I think most of the men in his family died young, isn't that what...
Yeah, his father died just before his 40th birthday, and of course Mickey was only 20 years old. That was a tremendous trauma to him, and it really did impact on Mickey's own life and the way he looked at things. He had an uncle that died young, so he really lived hard with the idea that he wasn't going to live very long, and he did live to the age of 63. He was 63 when he died in 1995, but two of his own sons died before they were 40 years old, so that really is a star-crossed family, the Mantle family, and it really had a tremendous psychological and emotional impact on the way Mickey went about his life and went about his career.
Didn't Mickey almost quit playing baseball? He was struggling down in the minors or whatever at one time, and he went back.
What happened in his very first year, he was so highly touted in the spring training of 1951 when Joe DiMaggio was still with the Yankees in his last year. Mickey came up. He was the opening day right fielder. DiMaggio playing center field, of course, and about a month and a half into the season, he began striking out at a really enormous rate, and Casey Stengel, the manager, realized Mickey was in over his head, and the emotion of playing in New York, playing next to DiMaggio, getting all that attention was really too much to him. They sent him to Kansas City, and Mickey's father drove up from Oklahoma to Kansas City, and Mickey said, I'm quitting, I can't do this, and you know, these guys are too good for me. And his father said, quit if you want, but then you'll work in the mines with me. His father was a zinc miner, and of course Mickey thought a little more about it, realized baseball was an easier life, and got himself together, played well in Kansas City, and then was brought up again to the Yankees about a month later.
Now, I know Mickey Mantle, and what was his relationship with Willie Mays? I mean, did they have a friendship at all? Because they always compared those two as two of the greatest center fielders back at the time.
Right. Willie, Mickey, and the Duke was the three big center fielders in New York in the time in the 50s. Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Duke Snider with the Dodgers. And there was a friendly competition. Of course, Willie was internationally, Mickey an American, so there wasn't a lot of comparison, and they didn't play against each other except for a World Series in 51 and again in 62. But they really went their separate ways, but years later, Mickey really later said that Willie Mays was the best baseball player that he, Mickey, had ever seen, and he said, when you talk about Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, there's really only one leader among the three of us, and that's Willie Mays. I think both Willie's statistics and the way he played the game and the fact that he was still pretty competitive and pretty successful at the end of his career, while Mickey was really struggling the last 4 or 5 years of Mickey's career.
Now, do you think that had a lot to do with his alcoholism and the other things that were going on?
I think the alcoholism was a sort of a two-part jolt to Mickey. One was the family situation, which we talked about, and the second was this incredible, enormous pressure that was on him to be not only this great star, but this popular figure. He was the big rock star of his day before there were rock stars, and he would walk out in the street out of Yankee Stadium, and thousands of kids would be there screaming his name. He'd go to a Manhattan restaurant, and kids wouldn't, and adults would be screaming his name, and wherever he appeared on the road with the Yankees, and I was traveling with them in those days, you'd walk into a hotel lobby, and all these beautiful women would be chasing after him. So even though it's fun, at the same time, it is an enormous amount of pressure to try to live up to that standing, and that was a real difficult thing for Mickey to deal with.
Talking with Maury Allen, the name of the book is Our Mickey, Cherished Memories of an American Icon. And you talk about Mickey Mantle. He put up remarkable numbers despite the countless injuries, and he really hurt his knees so early in his career. I guess it was even kind of coming over, and Joe DiMaggio called him off a fly ball in center field, and he tore up his knee on the drain pipe out there. But he had incredible speed, didn't he, when he came up?
He had incredible speed as a youngster, even though he was injured as a high school football player and had osteomyelitis, which was an injury to his lower calf. And in the spring training of 1951, his first spring training with the Yankees, he was timed at less than 3.5 seconds getting down to first base, and nobody had ever seen that kind of explosive speed. But as you pointed out, in that very first World Series of 51, on a ball hit by, of all people, a rookie by the name of Willie Mays, he was running over to try to catch the ball. DiMaggio called him off the ball. DiMaggio caught it. Mickey tried to slow up, and his shoe got caught in a drain pipe out in the center field, and he damaged his knee. And even though he could run better than most players of his time, he never again really had that incredible, explosive, dramatic speed that he had in that spring training and through the early part of 1951. So he was a good base runner, but never a great base runner. And also as a home run hitter, he really didn't try to steal too many bases. And I think had he run more, he would have set every record for a guy with that kind of power. I mean, he could have stolen 50, 60, 70 bases every year.
In interviews later in his life, you saw a lot of that on television, where he talked a lot about regrets, you know, how he felt he could have been, you know, better player, better husband, better father, and all that. Can you shed some light on that inner turmoil that he kept going through later in his life?
I think there was a lot of psychological trauma that was going on in Mickey's life, you know, almost till the day he died. He regretted, you know, how he was, he had really become an alcoholic, and he had to go to a rehab Betty Ford Clinic to get rid of that. In the last year and a half of his life, he was clean, but by then it was far too late. He had damaged his body beyond repair. Also, the family life, when you're fawned over night and day as Mickey was, it's pretty hard to, you know, give up the joys and the pleasures of people just wanting to hand you things, and women just falling at your feet, and men just sort of worshiping you. And the people that was damaged most by this, of course, was his wife and his four sons. And he never really developed a relationship with the four boys because he was away all the time. He was always making appearances. He was always being Mickey Mantle. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very difficult thing. And I can only correlate it, as I said, to, you know, the great rock stars of today, or the great movie stars who get that kind of enormous attention. But fame is not something that too many people can handle with ease. And I think it was like carrying a big safe on the back of his on his back. And after a lot of years, it really wore Mickey down. And the fame part of his life was something I think he regretted. Mickey's greatest joy was just sitting around with his teammates and his friends and just kidding around and having a beer and talking over the old days. And he didn't want to be famous, but he couldn't, of course, ever get away from that.
Did he ever feel he got out of the shadow of DiMaggio?
Yeah, I think that was a factor only in the early part of his career, maybe the year or two after DiMaggio retired. But By 1953, 54, he really was his own man. And of course, a couple of years later, in 1956, he had the greatest season that he ever had, and maybe one of the greatest in baseball history, when he won the Triple Crown and he threatened the home run record. And then he was quite a mature player and quite comfortable in 1961 when Roger Maris and Mickey really electrified the country with the home run race. And of course, Mickey was injured at the end of that year. Roger went on to hit the 61 home runs. Mickey wound up with 54. But when Mickey lost in not winning the record, he gained in the attention and affection of all of the fans. And I think from that time on, from 1961 until his death in 1995, he was in the top five of most popular American figures, both on and off the sports field.
Just got a couple of minutes left. Maury, I wanted to ask you, you've covered his career both as a player and his life since retiring from the game. What are some of the things in the book that might surprise the readers? Maybe they haven't heard before.
I think the thing that surprised the readers is the reaction of all these famous people that we talked to about Mickey Mantle, non-baseball people like Henry Kissinger and Donald Trump and Dan Rather, Regis Philbin, Billy Crystal, Teresa Wright, who happened to play
Lou Gehrig's wife, right.
in the Pride of the Yankees. I mean, these are all people that ran into Mickey one way or another. You know, he was a New York celebrity. Every time he came to a dinner, there'd be famous people around him. And they themselves were in awe of Mickey Mantle. He was just a giant figure, and they all tell these wonderful, intimate stories about meeting Mickey and having their memories connected with him. And it was just a, what we try to do the first time, I think, you know, in any kind of sports book, was get off the sports avenue and really go in a different direction. And when you hear a guy like Billy Crystal or former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, a millionaire, billionaire Donald Trump, talking about Mickey Mantle, that's a different experience than hearing Yogi or Whitey talk about him.
That's right. Well, the name of the book is Our Mickey, Cherished Memories of an American Icon. We've been talking to Maury Allen, and Maury, just a personal note, I've enjoyed your writing sports when I lived up in New York, and I can still get the post down here, so I still keep up with you.
Thanks
for joining us today.